Tiffany Lankes, welcome back to Press Pass.
Thanks for having me.
Well, last we left off, it was before the Buffalo City School Board elections, and now the majority has been defeated. It's official. Where do you think things are going to stand when they reconvene and begin their new work in July with the new members?
One thing that is sure is they are not on board with some of the agenda items that this current majority, this outgoing majority, brought to the table. Some of your real tough kind of, you know, the so-called reforms, the charter schools, the majority talked a lot about that when they took office. That didn't really go anywhere. You know, kind of this tough approach to the teacher contract negotiations. They brought in Terry O'Neill, the attorney from Long Island, paid him $150,000 and counting. Cash has already discontinued that relationship. So I think there's signs that you know, kind of some of the tough elements of what they came in and wanted to do, you know, that's going to just fizzle. Some of the other things, though, you know, what'll be interesting to watch is the key components of the district's plan now moving forward, the community schools, the lower class sizes, the focus on literacy. These seem to be universally embraced on both sides of the board. There's also some questions, even though the teachers union did endorse all of the candidates who were elected to office, some of them expressed views during their campaigns that would not necessarily be aligned with what the teachers union would want. I mean, for example, Paulette Woods suggested that teachers pay up to 20% of their health care. You know, that's something that could potentially make some waves during the contract negotiations. So I think there's some questions, too, as we move forward. If you're going to have this clear-cut majority versus minority, or if you may have a few swing votes in between, which is something I don't think this board has seen in quite some time.
They all seem to be supportive of Superintendent Cash, too. They didn't seem to be saying negative things at that point about coming into the board and working with him.
They do. And in our survey, I think every single candidate running evaluated him as doing a good job. Jennifer McCosey expressed a little bit more skepticism. One of the things Cash made a point to do and has done well since he's been here is to really play the middle line. I mean, it was no secret when he walked into town that he was walking into a very politically charged situation, not just at City Hall, but in this community. And, I mean, you've seen him out having dinners with the Group of 18. You've seen him go to church with members of the minority bloc. I mean, this guy has been pretty smart in how he's handled the politics. What I hear is that he's really done a good job kind of cultivating a team at central office. You know, I hear a lot of buzz that there's much greater sense of camaraderie there than there's been. And even, you know, you see that at the board meetings where oftentimes he is defending his staff to criticism from the board. He's willing, you know, to challenge members on both sides of this current board. So he seems to have come in and kind of in this political environment made kind of his own role for himself. And I would expect that he'll continue to do that when this board changes.
Larry Quinn, the night of elections, said he was certainly disappointed, but life goes on. And he also told us it's a shame because the problems still remain. And he said they are going to have to come up with solutions. He seems ready to work with the new team of people coming on board.
It is. And it was really interesting at last week's school board meeting. Obviously, now we jump into the budget, often gets kind of overshadowed during an election year. But, you know, Larry has really, I think, directed a lot of his focus now to that budget, which is something that since I've been here almost 3 years and from what my predecessors tell me, nobody has really taken a close look at that. I mean, there's questions about, you know, no one knows who's on the staff at a lot of these schools. You know, you look at a number of this many teachers, it doesn't tell you how many are music, PE, art. You know, it's something that's just kind of fallen through the cracks. And now that you have a board that does, you know, across all lines want to lower class sizes and put more focus on reading, you know, there are going to have to be some calls at some point about where you're putting your resources. And it was interesting to watch Paulette Woods at the meeting. She was in the audience and she sat there the whole time taking notes. There were things that Carl Paladino was saying, and she was sitting there nodding in agreement. And she actually approached Larry after the meeting and said, I agree with you. So I do think there's kind of the sense of people really focus more on issues than personalities.
She has such a deep commitment when you speak to her to the youth and what she has seen from the other side of it from her work in probation. It's amazing. She has a different stance on suspensions and other youth issues. So maybe she'll bring to the table some, you know, another perspective and viewpoint that they haven't had before.
Absolutely. And let's not forget the other person on the board that has a similar viewpoint on those issues is Patty Pierce. So, you know, you are bringing in some new figures that are going to share different commonality with people on both sides of this current divide.
I guess a lot looks to then how Carl Paladino will react to these new members as well.
Absolutely. I mean, you can kind of start to see indications of the meeting I was at last week, which was, I think, the first official board meeting after the election. It was more like before the majority took over, you know, kind of back in the Pam Brown meetings when there were a lot of questions about contracts, consent agenda items, you know, a lot more vocal than he's been in the past year or so. You know, obviously, I mean, he has said he came onto the board because he wanted to draw attention to problems and issues. It seems that when he, you know, they had the majority and I think they felt like they had control and could kind of address some of these issues and problems perhaps more quietly. I think there's a worry now that won't be the case. You know, perhaps it's the same thing with Larry and the budget is they know that they're no longer going to really hold the power with votes. So I would expect you might see them becoming more vocal again about some of these issues that aren't as easily noticed.
So is there an attempt before the new folks come on board in July to get as much done as possible as that cooperative majority?
You know, that's going to be tough for them to do because, again, you look at the biggest issues that are out there. I mean, the budget is certainly one. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see where they go with this because you do have a board that has sat there and said they want to lower class sizes. I was surprised at the meeting last week when they were supposed to approve the preliminary budget that none of them wanted to do it for different reasons. You know, Barbara Nevergold and Mary Ruth Kabsiak were concerned that it didn't come to them until the last minute. Sharon Bell and Cotman had concerns about equity. But again, and as the budget director pointed out, they've been having conversations about this for months and no one seems to want to talk about the possibility of layoffs. So, you know, I honestly don't know where they're going to go with that. They have to approve a budget in July, and obviously you'll have a new board coming in then. And then the teacher's contract, I mean, it does not seem like there's a prayer in the world they'll get that done before the majority flips.
Yeah, and certainly if they had a solution, it would have happened by now.
Right. I mean, to think that, you know, all of the sudden some unicorn is going to come in with a contract agreement that everybody loves is just delusional. And there was a lot of buzz that Phil was waiting for this election and the majority to flip. And I don't see, you know, the current majority members backing off on some of the things that they have been advocating for, even when the board majority does flip. You know, now they'll be in a different position of trying to push for things that they may not have support for. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic to watch that play out.
Incumbent in the East District, Teresa Harris-Tigg, won her re-election. And one thing she said that evening to us, she believes that people are tired of all the shenanigans and that people really want to work for the best interest of the children. She's very excited, of course, about working with the newest members as well.
Right. I do think you are getting that sense. And, you know, as we talked about with some of the other members, I think, you know, 2 years ago, obviously, the election was about kind of claiming this majority and getting rid of Pam Brown. You know, if you look at clips going back to when our regent, Catherine Collins, was on the board, you didn't see this kind of clear-cut line in the sand, us against them, you know, racial and ideological split. You know, you look at them and you'd see, you know, on one vote, maybe Chris Jacobs was voting with Catherine Collins or Florence Johnson, and on the next one, he's not. And so people that, you know, now are aligned to these different sides, there was a time when people seemed to be voting more on issues than allegiance. And I do think there's some optimism that maybe we will be getting back to that.
Tiffany Lankus, as always, we look forward to our next education conversation with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Press Pass.
Thanks for having me.